T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We're 1 hour away from Jay Binkley joining us in studio. He's got his new mock draft out. Mock 5.0, I believe, is where we're up to already as the draft approaches. So we'll talk some football with Bink and a little baseball coming up 1 hour from now. But it is the... What the hell was that?
That was Binkley snorting.
What was that? I was like, that's not Ryan. But then I saw Ryan over there. Like, what on earth? Is that? Where's that from?
It's from Binkley interviewing Brett Saberhagen, and he snorted.
Laughed?
In the middle of the interview, like mid-question.
I wasn't expecting it.
You never had that one? Suck a little too much air in at once?
I had not heard that one before, though. So Bink will join us about an hour from now.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
Oh, he joins us now, all right. 11 o'clock hour on Cody and Gold. 30 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. Jay Binkley in studio for the forum. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas?
When was that interview?
It's a couple years ago.
Oh, it's years old. Okay.
Ryan's just Fesco, holding on to that drop for 2 years.
Fesco used to do it all the time, but I don't know where those drops are. Fesco used to do it all the time, and now he has that.
Ryan also played this gem for me earlier.
Yeah, that was. They called me at 6:15 in the morning, right?
Oh yeah, that's when they
you
wake
do the
you
night
up.
Show at 9 o'clock. You have a few beers afterwards. Sometimes they called me today. At 6:55, and they called me again at 8. But yes, they do that. And none of them were to congratulate me on the bracket contest.
You did
the
win. You did win the bracket
Boomer
challenge.
Esiason
that we did.
And Michael Vick and Justin Herbert,
Sean
and Matt
Mannion.
Moore.
Is that what you said for Oregon State?
Yeah, Bink
it worked.
Won. You did. You won going away. 16 points.
And it worked.
1 point per team, 2 points for the double-digit seats. You did. You got first. Ryan finished in second. Rob third. Myself fourth. Serta fifth. Cody sixth. And then Kling finishing dead last on that. But, yeah, you had whatever strategy. I don't know what on earth it was.
Well, not known as a basketball guy, but maybe now.
Maybe so. We do know that you're a football guy, Bink, and your latest mock draft is out. I wanted to start there, though. Mock draft 5.0. How many are you going to have by the time we get to draft night?
About 50.
You got a lot of work to do.
No.
A lot of work to do.
I don't know.
One a day the rest of the way.
7-0, 8-0, I don't know. I got it to 8-0 or 9-0 last year. It was funny. Somebody on Facebook, they put it out there and they put the comments and people talk about the draft. And someone's like, well, I don't understand why you change it. Why do you have to be flip-floppy on changing your picks? I said, is this your first time looking at mock drafts? Because nobody
That's
keeps
not how
saying,
they work.
It's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. They're not the same things. I mean, sometimes they aren't. I don't like to flip-flop on my picks very often, but this is an unusual year. Usually you get the combine, so then you go forward on that. But now it's all pro days. So, yes, Liam Eichenberg was my number one pick, but he had a bad pro day. I didn't like it. I like Samuel Cosmi's at Texas better. That's why he's there, because we have to wait for these pro days. These pro days are going all the way till April 5th, so you do have to change your mind from time to time. You do the same thing I do. You hit that mic.
No, my hands – we've talked about this all morning. This is not me this
time. I thought
you
did with your mouth.
No, I'm not even – my hands are down.
Just
I'm not
mark
even,
that.
Is that mic not sensitive or what? Because I keep doing it at night.
I'm not even anywhere near the mic. They're working on it this morning, the engineer.
But I've got Mike.
I'm with
a
you.
Because I use my hands.
I'm with you. No.
The hell is that?
That's not me. I'm not doing anything. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You have them taking a tackle, though, and you mentioned out of Texas.
Yeah.
Are you firm, though, now where even if, let's say even if the Chiefs go out and sign Villanueva tomorrow, Okay. Are you still
going
to have him taking a tackle?
Yeah. Villanueva is different because I think you count him for 16. Okung has not proven he can play 16. Matter of fact, he's only played 13 his last 2 years combined. And you got to pay him in Bitcoin. So I don't know if they're going to do that.
He's about paying him in Bitcoin. I'll do that. Right, that's smart by him.
He made an extra $8 million last time. He took 27,000 and turned up 63,000 per Bitcoin. So he did a great job. But yeah, because that's the future. I mean, anybody that came in here, when you mentioned tackles, at this point, they're one-year deals. One-year deals, and then you move on. In even half the season, whatever you get, a guy like Trent Williams, different. You're going to have him at least 3 years. I know it was a six-year contract, but they'll back out of that 3 years. He's not going to play at 39 on the offensive line. But, yeah, I still think you take tackle, and I've amended a little bit because I had Trey Hill, the center, out of Georgia in this mock. In the previous mock, I had Josh Myers, the center of Ohio State, and essentially by signing Austin Blythe, and I know people are like, well, he could play guard. He's going to play center. He played center all last year. In the year before, he played 8 games because they had an injury. So he played 8 games at center. So a year and a half, essentially, at playing center, and he did it well. It essentially gave the Chiefs their third-round pick back because I don't feel like they needed to get that second tier because Creed Humphrey's first tier, Landon Dickerson, first tier center, they're going to be late first round, the early second round. But the second tier is where he had the Chiefs getting their center. Not anymore. They don't need it. You can get that later in the draft in the sixth round, which I have them getting Dahlman, Stanford.
You still haven't taken a center, in your mock draft, but you don't believe they need to take it in the fourth.
Well, Austin Blythe, he's a seventh-round pick. I mean, you can get centers in the sixth, seventh round, areas like that. I felt if it was a pressing need to start right away, that's why I'd go with Trey Hill out of Georgia. He's a man, a 6'4", 330-pound center. That'll protect Mahomes. But Austin Blythe gave them that third-round pick back, in my opinion.
I just like from a Chiefs draft perspective, everyone seems to be higher on tight end than me. Like you've got one in the second round,
which I don't get though. I've heard you guys talk about this.
Why? Why do they need another tight end?
First of all, let's look at this.
It's like the least important thing is to have a tight end who can block. It's like the least important thing on a football field.
All right, here's a couple things.
It's terrible.
All right, hear me out here. Travis Kelce's production. Second to none, and you've never seen it before.
Wide receiver Travis Kelce.
The Chiefs utilized the tight end more than any other team in history. That's one. One, he's been healthy.
Not the second tight end, they don't.
But you rolled the dice that Travis Kelce stays healthy. Okay, I mean, what if he gets hurt? It's a Grand Canyon-sized gap between him and Blake Bell and Nick Kaiser.
That's any team who has a good tight end because there's only like five good ones.
They have not drafted a tight end since 2015 in the fifth round, James O'Shaughnessy. All right, here's the other deal. The reason I have him going, Tommy Trimble, in this draft, he's a devastating blocker. He blocks almost as well as some of these tackles in this draft, and he can catch. He's about to explode. Tommy Trimble's a guy that people love. He's been compared to George Kittle. Now, here's the thing. You bring in a blocking tight end as tight end, too, that can catch as well. I mean, good hands. You want a guy that can block and catch. If you're worried about your tackles on the perimeter, like Lucas Niang, let's say he starts at right tackle. You have a rookie starting at left tackle. That tight end, too, becomes imperative in 12 personnel, two tight ends, one back, helping the tackle block. Because if you have a rookie tackle and you have Tooney there at right guard, and you've got tight end, too, Tommy Trimble at tight end, that's huge because that tight end can help chip on the defensive line. To me, tight end's imperative. Chiefs love running two tight end sets. I would love to see Blake Bell be the third tight end in this offense for 13 personnel if you want to go that direction. But the Chiefs need another tight end to groom. Even Brett Veach said it in his press conference, which he's been nails on everything. A one-year contract. He said, we need to look at Travis Kelce's backup. We need a tight end. So, yes, I'm very high on tight end.
I just wonder, like we talk about like not getting enough production out of Willie Gay in the second round, how long it took it to get. And now I'm spending a second-round pick on 250 yards and some blocking?
But I think I think we're all taking for granted that Travis Kelce's staying healthy.
I know, but he always stays healthy.
I know that.
It's like talking about an injury-prone player. Like, to me, it's like talking about a guy like, can they stay healthy when they're always healthy? I get what you're saying is, like, if he goes down, but, God, I mean, if Kittle goes down, Darren Waller goes down. Like, that's everyone's.
They are set in about every position except for if Patrick Mahomes goes down, we know that's a gap. Travis Kelce goes down, that's a huge gap. You can replace other places on this line. You cannot replace a Travis Kelce. I think we take it for granted that he stays so healthy.
It's the window thing for me, Cole. Yeah, it's like this is a window of time, and now I'm like focused on a tight end. No, I'd rather have a wide receiver. I'd rather have another offensive lineman. I'd rather have things that specifically help this team now.
It's a tight end that's like a wide receiver that can catch like a wide receiver and give you that blocking that you need.
If he's that good, he's not going at 62. Like, you're making him sound like he's George Kittle now. Well, if he's Kittle now,
here's the thing.
He's got to be going like ninth, right?
Even guys like Matt Miller said, if there's a guy in the draft, it's this guy. Kent Swanson, those guys put out the draft guide. You know what that comparison was? George Kittle. All right, I'm telling you, people are sleeping on this guy. He keeps climbing. After that Notre Dame Pro Day, he is climbing. Now, third round is probably where he's projected. However, Chiefs pick at the end of the second round. It's essentially like you're getting early third round as well. That's where.
Is this why in your mock you don't have him taking a wide receiver for quite a ways? Because we know right now they don't have a number two wide receiver, at least not one that any of us are really happy about heading into the season, a number two wide receiver. And
you get a mid round.
And Cody was right. Like, I've been on board. I'm with you on the tight end deal. I was hoping they were potentially going to explore in the free agency market another tight end as well. Obviously, they did not do that. I don't know, since they have gone out and got Blake Bell, despite the limitations that he presents, I don't know if I like the second round pick. Now, you make a good point. If they're picking at the end of the second round anyway, it's almost like a third round pick at that point to begin with.
And if you value that player and say, all right,
so do you think it's better off than
if you have a chance at a George Kittle the second round, you take it.
Sure. So what about, what about wide receivers, though? Who's your number two wide receiver? Are you confident? Like, who's going to become your number two wide receiver if you're not taking one? In your mock, I think you have a fifth round.
Went fourth round. Anthony Schwartz, who ran a 4.26, and I know some of these combine 40 times have been kind of hit or miss. Like, my tackle ran a 4.84, 313 pounds, which all these 300 pounders are running sub fives, which is crazy. Jeez. But there's reasons for it. You sleep in your own bed. You're not the combine. You're not, you know, herded like cattle into the combine, and you can take your time. That's why these times are better and faster tracks. But he's also the National Gatorade Track and Field Athlete of the Year from high school. So there's his 4.26 is probably legit. If it's not 4.26, it's 4.28. But Anthony Schwartz is a burner, and he's got great hands and separation. Could he be eventually wide receiver too?
What's the knock on him? Why is he a fourth round talent? What's the knock on him?
It's still raw. I mean, there wasn't a ton of production throwing for Auburn this year. I mean, it's one of those, you have to look at the offense they're in.
It's Calvin Johnson, Georgia Tech. They just don't pass enough to know.
You see this all the time with quarterbacks going to college football. You say, why'd they take him? And then all of a sudden you see why.
Sure.
Even though they're in, you know, an option offense in high school, and then all of a sudden they're in a pro set or a spread in college.
Obviously they can go a lot of different ways in this draft because they have several positions of need, but no glaring need outside of offensive tackle. Which is a good thing, right? Because you could say, hey, they need more wide receiver. They need another tight end.
I think tight end. I think linebacker, too, guys. Because, Damien Wilson's gone.
You're never going to talk me into that. You got less of a chance in tight end than linebacker.
Well,
you're going to spend back-to-back second-round picks?
Well, the linebacker, Anthony Hitch is probably be here another year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to eventually fill the line. Willie Gay's going to be part of the future at linebacker.
Hopefully.
I have the Chiefs going a couple linebackers. Pete Warner, who's a coverage linebacker, can play Will. And he's a tackling machine from Ohio State. And Monty Rice from Georgia that's eventually a Mike linebacker. So I value the linebacker position, and I think it's imperative for stopping the run going forward for the Chiefs. So I'm about the stockpiling linebackers. Right now, you can't sell me on Ben Neiman coming in for
that. I'm with you.
You need an upgraded linebacker.
Jay Binkley hanging out with us in studio here on Cody and Gold. It is the forum. So something Cody and I were discussing yesterday during the Chiefs Red Half Hour was, all right, we don't know what it's going to look like yet, but just however you feel this offensive line is going to be week one of this year. Maybe it's, as you're mocking it, they're going to take a rookie left tackle. Maybe you still think they're going to get a veteran. Sounds like you're confident Austin Blythe being center. Joe Tooney, of course, at left guard. Is this year's week one offensive line, in your opinion, going to be better than what the week one O-line was a year ago, knowing that Schwartz wasn't healthy? Or we didn't know at the time, but most likely wasn't healthy.
No, we thought Schwartz was healthy, that last year's line was better. With Fisher, Schwartz is one of the best right tackles, if not the best right tackle.
Was Schwartz
healthy
week one?
He played.
I know, but he didn't play well those first few weeks.
No, he didn't.
Fisher,
Mitchell Schwartz,
not having Eric Fisher, just massive.
But I'm saying, looking on paper and saying, all right, Mitch Schwartz starting, is he healthy? Because we didn't know deep down what's going on. We don't see but yes, the offensive line would have been better. Although the interior part of this offensive line is better than it was last year. And you can make an argument that center might be better, too. So center and the two guards better. The tackles, no.
Are you done on Eric Fisher, I guess, because
no, I think, he's
I think
still,
there's still I think a scenario where yeah. I think there's a scenario where they could next week bring in Villanueva. They could draft the tackle you're talking about, either pick 31. Maybe it allows them to wait till the second round if they bring in Villanueva. And then they could still, late August, bring in Eric Fisher, because I don't think any team's touching Fisher till August anyway.
You
put him on the pup list bank for 6 or 8 weeks to open up the season and see where you're at.
And they expected him back by training camp. That's initially what they said. Now, CNET and I had this conversation about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago on his he does some draft stuff on his YouTube. And we talked about this, and I said, yes, I think there's a great chance Fisher's back. He comes back on a one-year deal. It's a prove-it deal, which all these guys are going to come back. We're seeing a lot more of these one-year deals because of COVID and the salary cap, and the players know where it's at, and they know it's going to explode next year. It's probably going to gain about $20 million next season. It's going to explode. These players know it, and Eric Fisher would be the perfect candidate for a one-year contract. And I didn't rule it out because I think Eric Fisher, the chances of him coming back here, pretty strong, to be quite honest with you.
I don't rule it out. He's available. And he's not going to be available until what? Halfway through this season is probably the realistic optimism.
The third wave will happen a couple weeks before training camp.
That's usually.
Guys start panicking. They want a deal. You know, they'll take that one-year deal.
Melvin Ingram's still available. KJ Wright's still available.
I don't want Clowney, but he's still out there.
Clowney's still available.
I want Melvin Ingram bad, but there must be something there that's holding the peg. Yeah,
I think he wants multiple years. He doesn't have another long-term deal in the future.
He does, but he's going to have to come back to reality because no teams jumped out there. The Chiefs were the first ones out there. He leaves without a contract. Did concern me a little bit, but the talks went well. The talks went extremely well. Sammy Watkins left Baltimore without a contract, but ends up signing one. Usually I get worried if a player leaves and doesn't sign a contract, but with Ingram, it doesn't bother me because nobody signed him. Like, he didn't leave here and then Denver jump in. What are you doing, Gold? And then
I'm not doing anything. This is ridiculous.
And then Denver didn't jump in and steal him like they did Emmanuel Sanders.
I don't think the audience believes that you're doing nothing.
No, they don't. They think I'm
they just see he's just like shaking the microphone.
My hands are in my lap right now, and I'm purposely
doing that like somehow that's going to make it not happen.
I'm trying to show you that I'm not touching the microphone at all. I'm not someone that's like, that's not what I'm doing.
And now it's going to keep doing it because now it's shaking. You see what you did to it?
We're good. I don't know what's going on with that.
Rough start.
I think so. Bink, I did want to ask before we maybe ask you a little bit about Royals. The Sam Darnold trade from the Jets to the Panthers, what does that mean for the Broncos, man? Are they going to trade up, you think, and try to get to the Falcons spot?
You know, watch number four. Watch number four position in the draft. That could be tradable. I'm sitting there going, okay, if teams aren't going to believe in Trey Lance or something, I can still see the Panthers going that direction. Even though they traded for Sam Darnold, I don't think there's – it's not out of the realm of possibilities for the Panthers to still draft a quarterback.
Really? Bridgewater and Darnold are still on the roster.
Bridgewater is going to be gone. They're going to recoup one of those picks.
Paid him $63 million for 3 years.
They're going to recoup one of those picks they gave the Jets, and if not, they're going to get it through the comp pick system the following year. But they're going to recoup that money on Bridgewater. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul is what they're doing. They're going to end up with that draft pick back, but I'm not sold that they won't still go quarterback because – Sam Darnold, I mean, I was surprised in that. I mean, that's where the market is right now. That is where the market is right now, where all of a sudden Sam Darnold. But look at these quarterbacks. It's like Dwayne Haskins, first-round pick 2 years ago, gone. Josh Rosen, inexperienced, gone. What we're seeing now is these teams, and the Jets become the first team in the last two, within 4 years, draft somebody in the top three at the quarterback position. This is a new thing, new trend in the NFL. Everybody wants their Mahomes, and they want it now, and they're not having patience because you don't put the money in quarterbacks like you used to under the old CBA.
In fairness, I actually think it's the right play. I've long stood for keep taking quarterbacks until you find the correct one who's good at playing football.
Well, look at Belichick. He kept drafting him in the mid-rounds and flipping him for picks. Like, draft the Matt Castle, flip him to the Chiefs, and get Chung for all those years. Like, eventually, I don't mind if the Chiefs throw a dart at a quarterback in the fifth or sixth round. I have no problems with that.
No, I don't. I think it's the right play because it's hard to get the right guy. I still hate the deal for Darnold, but it doesn't mean that...
It's commodity for you. It's your Bitcoin, Alex. It's your top shot.
Why do you call him Bitcoin? He's not invested in Bitcoin.
I thought he was.
No, I wish.
God,
I wish I would have gotten Bitcoin in 2013.
All our money's in NBA top shot
right now,
moments.
I, yeah.
Dogecoin?
No, I don't have any Dogecoin either.
I had some Dogecoin,
Kramer
but I sold
we did
it.
A quick flip.
Kramer does.
Yeah, it's not a long term. That's just a quick, like, if Elon Musk is tweeting about it, if you have to have some, it'll go up a little bit.
The chances are Kramer will lose everything.
How much money does he have invested?
Oh, man,
that's skyrocketing everywhere right now. Even the cryptos that weren't worth anything a few days ago are worth a bunch
Kramer's
of money right
doing
now.
It, man.
Well, the only thing, more on the NFT stuff, man. The NFT Top Shot and then this MotoGP thing or whatever I'm in on. We'll see how that turns out.
Have you bought into that yet?
I did a pack drop 2 weeks ago.
Did you see what Tom
Brady's,
open a pack shit, you see what Tom Brady's real card went for? It's like $2.5 million, something like that.
Oh, this is
his real card.
Nuts. Well, the Mahomes NFT, you could have bought him for $2,500, and we know someone that flipped him for $8,000 a day later.
That's your digital stuff. I'm talking the real stuff.
Yeah, I do both. I have both. Not anything worth anything.
I don't have an impressive portfolio. It's it's fine.
Serta's one.
Serta's hooked
money,
on it too. I like it. I got someone else on the show that she's locked into it. Serta this morning he said that things are looking up. Things are looking up.
There's probably somebody.
Are you still holding AMC?
No, I sold my AMC, but it did go back up a little bit yesterday. Their CEO has just made a lot of really poor decisions, so I got out of AMC.
I love this thing. This is great. Exeter, their CEO is making some really bad decisions right now.
I'm telling you, I'm in on the Caster Maritime right now. It tanked yesterday, but it's because they're buying ships left and right. They're doing something big. Hold the line.
I would have imagined Caster Maritime stock had to have plummeted recently with the
canal.
But they're investing. They're playing this thing for the long term. We're riding it to the moon.
Do you buy this? So I went to Chick-fil-A this morning, Bank. And I ordered like the chicken minis and I got an orange juice with it. And I get to the front of the drive through and they're like, oh, sorry, we apologize. We're actually out of oranges. Cause it's not on tap or what do you want? Fountain. It's on fountain.
What the hell do you run out of
orange juice?
It's
a little bottle?
Like a little bottle of Tropicana. Okay. Sure. Like a mini little bottle of those. Okay. That's one where they hand you. And the guy goes, oh, I apologize. We're out. He's like, it's all the Chick-fil-A's are out because of the ship in the canal. I'm like, are we really blaming everything on the? Is this like the new? Oh, it's COVID against the canal. I looked up Tropicana. I feel
Boaty
like
McBoat
is that
place.
Isn't that coming from more? Isn't that still a U.S. thing?
You ever just think about like how's he? Why would he lie about that?
I don't know. I just thought it was odd. The orange juice is impacted.
I went to McDonald's one time when they were out of hamburgers.
What?
I'm not kidding you. It was like late at night.
Out?
Like, we're out, sir.
Tropicana's headquarters are in Chicago, but they don't get the oranges from Chicago.
You should get those from Florida.
Yeah, why would they not be from the U.S.?
They don't need to go in the canal.
I imagine they get them from a lot of places. It was founded in Florida. But I seriously, wait, you think they just get all, you think there's enough oranges in just Florida to supply
Tropicana's the largest single buyer of Florida fruit.
Yeah.
I was thinking like Florida, Brazil, not the canal. I think it's not in the right spot. For it to have been impacted.
The boat's gone now,
there is something going on because I cannot find my favorite flavor of Kickstart anywhere, and it has ruined my day.
I saw that you
I
were
had to drink
it on the
black cherry Kickstart this morning. It was disgusting.
For now on.
I went to three different stores the other day and could not find it anywhere. All of those stores have carried it in the past. I was livid.
Is it orange flavored?
It's pineapple, orange, mango.
What's your favorite
orange
canal?
Conspiracy?
See, I'm wondering, Bank.
If
now,
you're doing a canal draft, who'd you take one?
Panama.
I like that one too. High range. Father was a coach.
Number one. Little undersized, but that's fine. We'll work with that.
Someone says 18% of the world supply chain go through the canal. I understand that, but like you're telling me out of 18%, the Tropicana supply is heavily impacted. Anyway,
apparently it is. That's what the Chick-fil-A guy told
you. So I was bored one night in quarantine. I was watching these river cruises in Europe. They had to go through 63 locks. That's where the water has to fill up.
Oh, they have to lift the boat up?
Like, who the hell wants to do that? 63.
I'm not doing any cruises.
No, I'm not doing locks. This is before the pandemic, man.
You can start your own.
Someone
says
not the juice. They said the issue is the bottles. People think the issue is the bottles they're short on, not the orange juice.
Oh, not the juice itself. The plastic, bottles? Huh?
How that come makes this Chick-fil-A, the one up north has like an outdoor deal? They have like four lanes like during the lunch hour, and they bring all sorts of people outside. It's a lot more than the one out here in Mission. I mean, it's like a full production. That thing is so busy. They bring in like four lanes and all these different people for their
They handle
their
business.
Lunch.
They know how to direct traffic. Chick-fil-A's got the traffic and all the lines down.
No, they do, but I mean,
they got to figure it out, man.
Bigger production than this one.
Now everybody says Some of the delays of the canal flooded the ports and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, now everybody's saying that they're not surprised by this. But anyway, I don't know how long this is happening. Bink, thanks for coming in studio. Thank I know you have a different energy drink, too, so I don't know what happened to your bang stuff either.
Run low on that, too, Serna. It must be the canal. Ideal monster.
Anyway, everything's on the canal. For now on, we're blaming everything. The microphone.
Canal watch.
Somehow it's something with the part that was needed to fix the microphone in studio. It's all on the canal. Coming up next, your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest, and then we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour in a mistake, perhaps, that teams are making and what one national pundit had to say about that. But first, it is your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour is cake. You guys want me to make cake for Friday?
It's been a while since you brought in some dessert items.
What kind of cake do you guys like? Maybe like a drizzle cake? How do you feel about like a... Okay. All right. Well, then what's the backup choice?
What about just cookies?
Ice cream cake?
Chocolate chip cookies. Just... Or snickerdoodle. Snickerdoodle. Definitely snickerdoodle.
God, you changed your mind so quick.
Yeah, cinnamon. Nice taste.
Like, you can get a chocolate chip cookie anywhere. Don't you want like...
Yeah, everything you've brought in I could get anywhere. But you've still brought them in. Right?
Show me where those Sopapilla cheesecake bars are sold. Find them on the shelf, and then you can tell me you just get them anywhere.
I'm sure there's some place in town that sells them.
You know what I could use? A good lemon square.
Ugh. Lemon square? You don't like lemon squares?
No. I don't like lemon flavor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not making two desserts, so you guys need to get on the same page.
Why lemon? Ooh, make chocolate bars.
Like the donuts?
Yeah.
Well, make some Long Johns.
I've never made donuts. Text cake, CAKE to 72881.
Just fried dough, right?
$1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Yeah, but you need a pan to maybe. Otherwise, they're going to be a bit ugly because it'll be freeform. Your next chance to win coming up at 12:30. Go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. The cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today. That's cake, CAKE to 72881.
Yeah, I guess you would need to have like a form. A
mold. I think you can free form a donut. They're just like typically they've got pans to kind of
the
keep
Long
their
John
shape
takes
a
the same as the oval, the circular donut though. It's the same. It's just it's a long.
Yeah, and that's actually like it's not much shaping, right? If you just pipe it into a single line, you maybe they wouldn't spread too far. I've never made a donut, so I'm not sure. Made bagels.
Then don't bring those in. Then
I've made bagels, but
definitely
I've never
don't
made a
do the bagels.
Why don't you don't trust me to make a donut?
Because like I think donuts are one of those things that are so readily available, and a lot of places are amazing. I don't feel like it's worth the effort for you. Because we're not gonna, I'm not gonna be like, man, this is better than what I can.
And I got a tempered chocolate just to put it on top.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
I'm sure you could make a delicious cake that I would eat. I just in general don't really love cake that much.
Let's make a cookie cake.
What about like a blondie? How do you feel about a blondie?
Yeah, that's delicious.
Gold doesn't know what that is. He's looking at me like, what is that dessert? Those are super easy to make too.
What is that?
That doesn't take me no time at all. It's like a brownie.
What about a brookie? That's what I want you to make is a brookie.
Yeah, brownies are delicious.
Brookies fantastic.
Never made a brookie.
A little chocolate chip, a little brownie.
That's kind of like a blondie, if we're being honest. Brookies are not way different than blondies.
So I don't know. You said
so I'll make brookies.
Brookies for Friday?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Text line people said deep fried canned biscuit dough that's formed into a donut. Thank me later. People are trying to give you advice.
Oh, there you go.
Some also said rum chata cupcakes. Interesting.
Do I have to get those little like squeezy? So for those, you get those like little tiny little plastic things you got to squeeze into the cupcake before you eat them. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like a vial almost of like, this is a common thing in party stuff.
Huh?
For like catered parties, it's not uncommon to have a cupcake that would have a little thin plastic thing that you squeeze a liquid into the cupcake and then eat it.
What are we injecting? Providing more, what are we injecting
it's
cupcakes
usually like,
with
it's
filling?
Usually like Frangelico, like an almond liqueur or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's that stuff. That's how
yeah,
they
make
do
it those.
I don't have those
filled
things
cupcakes?
I don't have those things. I don't have those little plastic things.
Interesting.
Get drunk on cupcakes on Friday.
Something like that. I think we got to do something like that on Friday. Let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, though. So Dominique Foxworth yesterday was talking about Patrick Mahomes, and I think it's there's the balance of the need to be aggressive in the draft or free agency, and you got to find your franchise quarterback, but also being realistic about the process within it. Just listen to what he had to say about teams that if you think you're going to go out and find another Mahomes, you're going to be upset with yourself.
I believe that the ghost of Patrick Mahomes has a lot of teams believing that they can find the next Patrick Mahomes or they can create the next Patrick Mahomes. I think that's why Trey Lance is rocketing up. That's why Zach Wilson is rocketing up because they see that they have some similar Mahomesian abilities. But let me warn those fan bases who may end up with them. That ain't Pat. I don't care what you think. Those guys that you're looking at are not going to be Patrick Mahomes. And the other thing that I hear happening a lot is teams talking about maybe redshirting their quarterback when they come in, having a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo hang around and maybe play a little bit, or having Sam Darnold hang around and maybe play a little bit before you go on to your next guy. And you think that somehow that's going to create something similar to Patrick Mahomes. No, it's not. Patrick Mahomes would have been nasty as a rookie. He did not need a whole season to learn how to identify the mic, contrary to what you may believe. If Patrick Mahomes can count the three, he can ID the mic. So don't believe that you're going to do something special and create this new Patrick Mahomes because some guy can throw off the wrong foot across his body or because you allow him to sit on the bench for a season.
How many teams will get themselves in trouble for that? I mean, I think it's not surprising that this is where the league is heading. I'm with him 100% on the idea of having a quarterback sit. It took a perfect situation with a veteran quarterback and Alex Smith willing to groom Patrick Mahomes for that whole scenario to even work. So I think that is
and he
why
still would have been Patrick Mahomes would have been good if he started day one.
Absolutely. But like the idea that he brings up Garoppolo, like I don't believe Garoppolo is the type of quarterback that'd be willing to just groom, you know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, whoever you think the 49ers are taking at number three. Like, I don't even think that scenario is in play. But yeah, I'm not surprised that other teams in the NFL, they're searching for their Patrick Mahomes. For how many years do we say you're searching for the next Tom Brady?
What's funny is what he's talking about is correct. What is happening is they are searching for his physical traits and hoping that that translates. Like, oh, he's got an arm. He can throw it a million miles an hour way across his body. He throws from awkward angles. This is all going to work out. But how many quarterbacks actually translate that to regular? For instance, Sam Darnold actually makes some of the things that we're talking about right here. We talked about him earlier. Sam Darnold makes some of those throws we're talking about. Awkward angles, off balance, incredible throws. It doesn't make him a good quarterback. That's the problem these teams are going to run into. But this is not a new story. What Foxworth is right about is like we pretend like the methodology that all led there was this like, it's like, it's become Paul Bunyan-like for how Mahomes became Mahomes. If Mahomes had started the very first day he was in camp for the Chiefs, he would have been good. He'd been very good, maybe great. Like he would have been tremendous from the beginning. The Alex Smith year did not hurt him. It probably helped him a little become like hit the ground running a little bit better, but he wouldn't have been a bad quarterback if he had started back. It's like, you know, like how fashion styles come back in. It's like pretending like to have a 1 year quarterback sit behind somebody is like a new trend. That is legitimately how they used to do it. Right. It was the old methodology. And now we're just pretending like this is new information. So it's that portion of it, but he's teams that, you know, even if they can do some Mahomes things, that's probably not your, that's not going to the thing that gets it done. You better like some other things about him versus he can make, you know, Zach's a little bit like that. He can make a tremendous throw in a practice. That's what I feel like is happening here. Foxworth is telling the complete truth here.
Well, yeah, I think overall though, this isn't like something that's not happened in the league before. Like naturally, I mean, if
somebody had success and you overlooked a certain talent for a reason, you're going to try to.
Or like, I need to go find my next Joey Bosa or Aaron Donald or whatever. He reminds me of Aaron Donald. Or this stuff, people make comparisons and try to find their version of said athlete. all the time. I mean, so it's nothing new. What's happened, though, is there's teams that are kind of almost panicking a little bit. There's Patrick Mahomes, what he's already accomplished at the young age of 25. It's like, if we don't find someone that can get close to that or match it, right, then we don't have, you know, chance to go win a Super Bowl. I mean, right now it's been the only guy that's been able to really stop Mahomes from being able to do it has been Tom Brady.
Guy who stops everyone.
Right, that other guy, which is why when we talk about the AFC and the moves that happened in the offseason, that's great. Like the Bills, they went out and added another wide receiver, and hopefully in their mind they think they believe they improved their roster and all that. Like, until Josh Allen can make the plays necessary to beat Patrick Mahomes, then it doesn't matter. Hasn't been able to do it yet. Lamar Jackson hasn't been able to do it yet. Baker Mayfield hasn't been able to do it yet. So until that exists, none of this is going to happen. Like, I'm not surprised, though, people are making comparisons to Mahomes. That's going to happen his entire career. Always.
It is. But, and if, you know, like, he's saying stuff, which is, it's not that it's like no one's going to be Mahomes. It's the approach of trying to, like, copy that methodology is not very good.
Oh, and yeah, like Gold said, we've seen teams do stuff like this before. Like, there's a lot of guys in college football that can throw a football 70, 80 yards if they really try it when there's no defender chasing them down and trying to injure them. Like, I would say that arm-wise, like, obviously, it's Rodgers and it's like Mahomes are like two of the greatest arms that we've ever seen in the sport. I think the closest guy in the NFL right now to Mahomes' arm, though, is Justin Herbert. But I would say what makes Justin Herbert different from Patrick Mahomes is that Justin Herbert's got an incredible arm and he can make incredible throws, but he doesn't have the improvisational ability that Mahomes does. I don't think anybody does. I think Rodgers at peak was the closest thing to that, but he does things that guys just can't do. And Zach Wilson can make some incredible throws. Trey Lance has a big arm. But if you're chasing that, it's just not a good idea, because you're also banking on the fact that those guys have the mental capacity and just the ability to create when there's nothing there, like Patrick Mahomes does. He almost threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl when he was horizontal.
Yeah, like Mahomes has every single trait imaginable. Yeah, like you might be able to find one or two pieces of that, but how are you are you ever going to find the complete package? And I think, in terms of if that's the exact player you're trying to replicate, I think you're going to be searching for quite some time on that going forward.
And look,
Zach Wilson, I think, might turn out to be a great pro. I think he might. And certainly Trevor Lawrence, we all think he's the real deal already and is going to be a great pro. But it doesn't, like, even if Trevor Lawrence turns out to be best case scenario, it doesn't mean he's still would even be on Mahomes level. Like, we don't know. Like, Trevor Lawrence, the comparison have been, he's the can't miss prospect since Andrew Luck, right? Andrew Luck, we all know how good Andrew Luck was before he unfortunately had the injuries and then decided to
retire. At the very least, he was
injury,
a top 10 quarterback, even if you were hard on Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
And if you get a top 10 quarterback in the NFL draft, you have you've done all you can do. Sure, you'd like Patrick Mahomes, but if you can have a top 10 quarterback, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's what you know about it. Those are the risks you take. Like, and if Trevor Lawrence says that can't miss, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback, then you're okay. You can live your life that way.
And to that point, like, how does this change, you know, what the AFC West could look like depending on this draft? Because we know with Darnold getting traded, so the Broncos are at number 9, and right now they have Drew Lock as their quarterback, and every indication this offseason has been that they really aren't fully committed to him. And nor should they be. But now with Sam Darnold being traded to the Panthers, it means the Panthers, we would think, are not going to draft. I know Bink was in here and he said he thinks there's still a chance the Panthers could draft one. But there's a lot of belief that won't happen because that the compensation the Panthers gave up for Darnold would be a little silly, you would think, to go and draft a quarterback this year. Now, they can get their idea on Darnold. And if he's not the guy, right, with the situation that's better this year, if he's not the guy, then they'll have to go draft a quarterback next year, obviously. I think they'll wait a year on that. But the Broncos suddenly at number 9, they can either move up, or even if the Broncos sat at 9, unless you're worried about a team trading up ahead of you, the Broncos could sit there even at 8 or 9 and still end up with, in their mind, whoever they view, is it Trey Lance, and still end up with one of those quarterback or Fields. Like, if you're telling me Fields somehow slid all the way down to 9 and the Broncos got Fields at 9, I don't know what Fields ends up being long term, but at least in
like
the short term
for them,
that would seem like a really good pick given the spot that you're in without having to trade up. Now, if they trade up to 4 to get Fields, then certainly there's even more pressure on that pick working than if you just stand pat at number 9.
I just wonder, you know, and yeah, like what you're saying is like, that's why there's rumor maybe they would trade up to 4. They are a better threat, probably, with Fields, or at least in my mind they are. But this goes back to the we watch them fail part of this, right? Like, is Fields ready to play right now? Like, at number four, if they traded up, or number nine, if they got their guy, I assume they would put Drew Lock and Justin Fields in an open competition. Yeah,
and maybe Drew Lock would start week one. Who knows, right?
And maybe, yeah. And there's rumor, by the way, if they didn't get the quarterback they wanted, that they would just take an offensive lineman and try to help Drew Lock, which is something they have at least attempted to do, right? But haven't gotten the help to do it. Like, they've got Cortland Sutton. They have Noah Fant. They've signed running backs. The offensive line has never been devastating, so maybe that's the final key to the cog. But trust me, man, when you're talking about needing that many things around the guy, it starts to be a problem. I'm not saying not load up the talent, but if you're like, we can't get by without one of those things, it's a problem for Drew Lock. I would obviously think there are a greater threat of that. You know what the funny part about this is that if Justin Herbert just repeats what he did last year, Patrick Mahomes already has more quarterback competition in his division than Tom Brady ever had.
Yeah, the dominance that the Patriots had in the AFC East, a lot of it was, of course, and because of how great Brady is, but the quarterbacks that rolled through in the AFC East during that time, we were going through some of the names earlier today. I mean, if you just look at the Bills, you're talking about for majority up until recently with Josh Allen, right? You're talking about J.P. Lossman and E.J. Manuel and Nathan Peterman, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, just to name a few of them along the way.
Go through the Dolphins quarterback, it's just as sad.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Jets, their best was when they had, and say what we will about Mark Sanchez, but their biggest challenge, Mark Sanchez, they went to an AFC championship game, right? And of course, going back even when Brett Favre was with the Jets, there hadn't been a ton of quarterback. And it's 1 year of Herbert, but you're saying if he repeats it, then it gets the confirmation for people. I already believe Herbert's going to be a top 10 quarterback for his entire career. I think he has it. Like, there's just a difference when you watch him compared to when you watch the Drew Locks of the world, for example, and other young quarterbacks. Like, Herbert looks like the real deal. I'm curious to see this new coach and how that impacts his development, but he looks like the real deal.
I'm mostly in agreement with you in the way that he looks and the thought process that he'll be that. I just, I'm trying not to get sucked in like I did before.
You're
with
still
Mariota.
He still hurts you. He's still hurting you is what it is.
I had been burnt. Sir, I don't remember where you were on Mariota. We obviously probably weren't like best friends or whatever then, but it's like, clearly we are now. I thought Mariota was the goods. Like, I thought he was the goods. He was going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL for the next 10 years because he looked very polished right away. He looked comfortable right away. Nothing seemed to faze him. And then he fell off the map pretty quick. So, like, I am a little bit, you know, honestly, a little bit leery of believing that a guy is the guy until I get more information on that.
I was very high on Marcus Mariota because, like, if you go back and watch his tape in the first couple of years he was in the NFL, he was never like, he never quite put it all together. Although I think at the time the Titans weren't doing him a lot of favors, like putting pieces around him. For some reason, they just didn't start Derrick Henry until like year three or four of
his NFL
career.
It's like Jamal Charles with like Thomas Jones ahead of him. It really is that kind of decision making.
But they just weren't doing a good job at the time of putting pieces around him, but he would show flashes of like brilliance sometimes. And so I just always thought, like, if he could put it together, if he could land in the right spot, he could be a really good player. It just never really worked out. So, like, he, at times I was like making Aaron Rodgers comparisons for some of the things that Marcus Mariota would show glimpses of. So, didn't exactly
work
out well.
Don't let him keep hurting you, though. Don't let him keep hurting you.
Look, sometimes it's okay to just keep going out on that ledge. I'm just saying, I've seen a quarterback look good. You could say Baker Mayfield, too, right? Baker Mayfield set rookie records the year he was in the league. He looked like the goods. He looked like he had it. Nobody had tape on. Now, look, he's a fine NFL quarterback.
Yeah, they're the second best team in the AFC.
Okay, stop. They're not that. They're definitely not that. Don't listen to Sirdar. That's ludicrous. But when you... But, like, he obviously is. Baker Mayfield's probably going to get a second contract, right? He's probably going to be a seven or eight, nine-year starter in the league. Well, Mariota got a second contract, too. It flamed out very quick. Yeah. But, like, it doesn't mean it's going to flame out like that for Baker. Maybe Baker ends up being a 15-year starter. And we weren't wrong. But Baker didn't end up being, like, the guy. Like, the way you talk about Herbert is he's going to be a top seven quarterback in the NFL in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And that is not a crazy belief at all. I just can't be there yet. It's still, if he ends up being that, I mean, it doesn't even matter. If he's a top 15 quarterback, it's still better than anything Tom Brady faced during those runs.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to look at that already with the quarterbacks, even say what we will about Derek Carr and the Raiders and all that, but still comparative to the AFC East and some of the QBs that were obviously there with Brady. We know protecting Patrick Mahomes, it looks like the center, even if you want to say Allegretti's got a chance, it sure seems like Austin Blythe is going to be the starting center for Kansas City. He was introduced for the first time to members of the media yesterday, and he didn't do himself any favors. He was kind of joking about it on Twitter last night, but this was a comment he made. You know that when you're a newcomer to KC, everybody's going to ask you about barbecue, and so he had an opportunity, Cody, to talk up some KC barbecue. This was his answer.
I'm not a huge barbecue fan. I don't know if I'm going to get roasted for that, but you know, I enjoy pulled pork, you know, without any barbecue sauce. So I don't know if that's really barbecue or not.
Whoa.
Why would you say that?
Just lie a little. Austin. Just lie a little.
Say the line, man. Just say the line. The line is, I love barbecue. Kansas City's
great. KC barbecue is great. I'm looking forward to having it.
Google the first one that shows up and just say it. What's your favorite? Joe's. It doesn't. Jackstack. Q39.
He did tweet later in the day because he saw
Arthur Bryant
some of the backlash. He said, also, I am sure I will learn to absolutely love barbecue. And he had a couple laughing emojis. Yeah.
You just learn to love it.
You just got to take that one and someone's got to give you a heads up on that one. Hey, just they're going to ask you about barbecue. What's funny is
PR team, you'd think you'd be prepping people for that question.
His family. Now, look, I appreciate it. Yes, I appreciate the honesty. Normally we say just be honest. So I think there's something to be said there. But he said his family like grew up in Liberty, Missouri. I believe he said they moved after he was born or before. I can't remember if it was after he was born. But so like his family's got ties to the KC area. He's still not a barbecue guy.
Would you rather eat pulled pork with no sauce?
Yeah.
Or that photo of the brisket Lincoln Riley put out on Twitter.
Ooh, yeah, that was dry looking.
That looked dry.
I'll probably
pork with no sauce.
That's the right choice.
Yeah, like overall, we've talked about, obviously, I mean, we're going to get some barbecue tomorrow after the show. Like between typically I would totally choose brisket over pulled pork. I way prefer brisket and even turkey over pulled pork. But yeah, that the Lincoln Riley part, the brisket he put up there looked like you need to douse that thing in barbecue sauce so you can actually not choke on the brisket.
You might need to run through a blender
like,
so you can chew it.
Like you need to be like drinking water as you're chewing because in order to get that brisket to go down.
I don't know. Does he just not like barbecue sauce? Like
that's
he just doesn't
it.
Like the flavor.
Like
of
Gold
it
doesn't like any sauce but barbecue.
Yeah,
sauce,
because like
think.
He just clearly has never had good barbecue.
Exactly.
Because you go
just
to
barbecue.
Any good barbecue place in Kansas City, and it's like when you bite into it, you're like, oh. Like that's how good it is. So he just clearly hasn't had it.
Can we save that, please?
I hope you don't make that sound in certain circumstances. Cause,
like while you're savoring the meats in your mouth.
Yeah.
Thank you, Serta.
He should work on it though. He's got a long way to go. Mr.
Like in Texas, it's weird with the barbecue though. So like down there, it isn't about this. Like up here, it's more about the sauce, right? Up in Kansas City style barbecue, like in Texas, they don't like everything. There's like, I mean, you can of course get sauce, but it's not. There's most stuff there is there's no sauce involved.
Oh, I was gonna put that right up next to that sound, Binkley,
man. Yeah, there it is. That's the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up next. We head into the noon hour. We'll get to what's trending and the best four game start to open a season for the Royals since 2016.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.